morning, everybody. This is MJ Bourg. I am your host, and this is the first episode of my podcast, What Did I Miss? I'm very excited about starting this new podcast, but first off, what is this podcast about? As you can probably tell already, I have a bit of an accent. It's very subtle, but I have an accent. Yes, I'm French-Canadian. I was born in Montreal, Canada, which means, in my case, that I grew up in French and only French. It was very, very French. Now I'm a slightly older lady and I live in Victoria, British Columbia, also in Canada. It's truly a beautiful place. But living in English Canada made me realize that I have a big gap in my common knowledge, and that is children TV and movies. What I mean by that is because I grew up in Quebec, I was raised on different media almost entirely than my English friends. So I find myself very often explaining to people why I never watched The Goonies, you know, stuff like that. So this is why I'm doing this podcast, basically. I'm just going to have a guest each episode come and show me either a TV show or a movie that they grew up with. And then this way, I can finally understand their references and their jokes and just catch up on what I missed. You see what I did there? That's the title of the podcast. So that's the main reason I'm doing this podcast. I gotta say that I got a few other reasons. Just let me name you one right now. I live alone in a studio apartment. And I gotta say, if I don't have anyone come and visit me, I'm never cleaning it. So this is a really good kick in the butt too for me to just clean up my apartment. And it's as good a reason as any in my book. I'm very excited. I'm very excited about this podcast. We're having a lot of fun recording it. I hope you have a lot of fun listening to it. I say we just start right now. My first guest is probably, for my money anyway, one of the funniest comics in Victoria. He's also a really, really good friend of mine, which is the perfect combo for a first guest. And I'm talking about Evan Mumford. If you don't know Evan Mumford, I suggest you check him out online. He has a podcast. It's called Must Be Nice. It's very good. It's a very good podcast. I'm on it myself. I may be biased, but I'm on it. He also does a night called Tricked Out Trivia at Darcy's Pub. If you're from Victoria, you know where Darcy's is. It's every other Wednesday. It's very fun. It's quite delightful evening. A lot of shenanigans. It's very fun. So if you're ever in Victoria on a Wednesday, go check that out. It's worth your time. But for now, Evan came to my house and showed me a movie called Bushwhack, which he grew up with. It's a 1995 film, let's say. It stars Daniel Stern and directed by Greg Beeman. Here's a synopsis. On the run from authorities, a sleazy courier poses as a scout leader on a camping trip, but he has no idea what he's in for when he has to lead a group of kids. Oh, I can smell the hijinks from here. So let's just get right into it. Episode 1 of What Did I Miss? Starring Evan Mumford. I have here in front of me the unique, I don't know what kind of adjective you would prefer.
Not that
the
one.
Incomparable?
Incomparable, sure. I'll take that. I'll take it.
Evan Mumford, everybody.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here, MJ.
Thank you so much for coming.
What a fabulous, fabulous time we've had thus far.
We sure have. We've been watching a movie called Bushwhacked.
Bushwhacked? Exclamation point after Bushwhacked.
Are you sure about the exclamation
point? No, but if there isn't, there is. And if it's not there, then it was there when I watched it in the 90s. What's that called?
Oh, yeah.
When you have like the Berenstain Bears effect.
The Mandela effect. Yeah.
That's a Bushwhacked effect.
Yeah. You remember it with an exclamation
100%
point. 100%.
Wow. Exclamation point.
Well, I'd like to hear more of what you remember.
Yeah. Same with Titanic had one too, right?
She was the queen of the world. That's what I remember.
No, he was the king of the world.
No, not in my version.
Oh, you had the girl of the feminist remake.
Yeah, absolutely. It's mostly girls from SNL, but it's funny.
I love it. Good. I'm sure that's cute. Yeah.
So yes, I've asked Evan to come and show me a movie, a film from his childhood, you picked Bushwhacked.
And I picked Bushwhacked. Now, it may seem like kind of a left field choice.
Yes.
To some. But I feel like for your podcast, it's perfect.
It is perfect. I got to say, there was a lot of nostalgia in there.
Right?
I appreciated that.
I mean, culturally, it is a white wasteland, an English wasteland.
Oh my God,
can you imagine as a, what? This came out in 95, 96?
Yeah.
I probably saw it when I was 8 or 9.
There's so much of that movie that would never fly in this day and age.
Oh, so much of it.
It's perfect 90s rump. It's a perfect rump.
It's a rump.
It's definitely a rump. I would use that word.
I will definitely use that word. And as like a 9-year-old kid, right? White kid, a little chubby, you know, a little on the heavier side, you know,
really?
Is what it is.
Yeah.
It was fine. We all got along. But seeing that movie, what do you got? You got fart jokes.
You do have fart jokes.
You got dudes falling down.
A lot of physical
constantly.
Humor. Yes.
Pee.
Bumping into each other, fumbling with that
a lot of
stuff.
Fumbling.
A lot of fumbling.
Poo, pee, birds and bees.
Birds and bees.
A girl with a bra.
A girl with braids and a bra.
There's a bra scene.
That's right.
Right.
There's we mentioned it when we were just watching it before. There was animals as well. There was a bear.
Animals, a big one. Big play in the 90s.
A big animals like lions. Yeah, in the 90s, there was always lions in movies or tigers for no reason. Just the one scene.
We can talk about that one scene in particular, but what I think, so the reason I brought it to you, because it's, what did you miss? Well, a lot of people missed it, number one.
Yes.
It didn't do well.
Yes.
But I just think it's soaked with this kind of non-sexuality.
Expand on that.
Well, it reminds me of childhood in that these kids, the scout team, we'll get into the synopsis in a minute,
but they're
on the cusp of learning their hormones and what's about to happen to their bodies.
Yes. It's a coming of age story.
It's a coming of age story.
Yes.
But it's not dirty. Everything's like just so fun.
It is.
Falling
down.
Is
that what you responded to as a kid, you think? Is that why you...
Just fun times with your friends.
Yeah.
Dudes, farting.
So what's your relationship with that movie? When did you first watch it? Do you remember that?
I do. So my uncle owned a convenience store.
He did?
He certainly did.
He owned it.
He big time.
Wow.
Big time.
Okay.
Now, how did I benefit from that? Well, once a year, his whole thing was he'd give us one of the movies that weren't selling.
Oh.
And this was one of the movies that just simply was not selling in his convenience store.
Like as a VHS?
A VHS.
Yeah. Yeah. Those
so, you know, we didn't have convenience store money. So we were happy to take their crumbs. And so every year we'd get a new VHS. And
just one a year though?
One a year, man.
He has a whole convenience store.
Looking back, I'm like, he's a monster. Like as a kid, it's like,
that's going to be your thing.
And it had like the markers on it. Like when you would watch it, it's like a screener markers all over it. Like it's,
what do you mean?
Well, it says like, this is for the convenience store only. Don't take this home.
And I see. So you could feel like a badass a little bit.
Yeah.
But no, that's weird though.
Yeah. And every that's year cool. The movie got worse. Like I remember like Bushwhacked was like the highlight.
Yeah.
So I watched this every day.
Almost by accident, I want to say.
Almost by accident. I watched this every day. I would wake up.
Every day.
I used to call in sick to school and watch this movie.
You could do that?
Yeah.
Your mom could do that? It wouldn't let you do that?
Well, she'd be, you know, clueless. I mean, I was probably sick. As I said, I was a little on the chubbier side.
Yeah.
But I could fake a sickness like no one's business. But I would just, I would watch this movie.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I remember one day I watched it like 6 times in a row.
Damn.
I get really into things. I get really comforted by things. Like even watching it today, I hadn't seen it in 20 years.
Did you enjoy that?
I knew every line.
You did?
I knew every beat of the movie.
I commend you on your self-control for not bursting into... I know I do that a lot with movies that I've watched a lot of.
You spoil it?
No, not necessarily, but when I know the lines, I'm like, you know, and then...
Yeah, but I don't think it gives me great joy.
Who has my spoon? Or in this case, sideline, but in this case, with Bushwhacked. Are you nuts?
Are you nuts?
I think I counted at least 3 separate times when people said, are you nuts? Yeah, sorry.
No, I think it brilliantly encapsulates that safe 90s white.
Are you nuts? It is safe. Although, and I think we're going to come back to that later, there are unsafe little parts of it.
There's actually quite a
that
darkness.
We realized together just watching it that it was like, oh, okay, but we'll come back to that
later.
There's
a darkness running through it.
So you were watching that movie every day.
Constantly. I was constantly watching that movie. Huh. Then I found Inspector Gadget with Matthew Broderick.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of the other VHSs that I fell in love with. And I've seen that movie too many times to count.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this movie in a weird way kind of like made me realize how much I love physical comedy.
Oh, okay.
How much I love Daniel Stern as a comedic actor.
He's quite something. That's for sure.
So I don't know how deep you want me to get into this movie. Should we?
As deep as you can go.
your relationship to this movie is nil.
It's absolutely none.
Nothing.
Absolutely none. Okay, so I did watch Home Alone, though.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not complete recluse. So it was kind of familiar in that sense because I don't know if everybody knows that about Bushwack. It was supposed to be a spinoff for Home Alone.
It was. In fact, Daniel Stern, in Home Alone, he was part of the Wet Bandits with Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
So that's how, just for the audience to know that Daniel Stern's the tall guy.
Exactly. With the nose.
With the nose. So this movie was initially conceived as a Home Alone spinoff. But obviously, they couldn't get it past one pitch, probably, because that's an awful idea. But Daniel Stern still kept the character. It's the same character.
It's the same character, I think,
in Home Alone. This stumbling,
yes, it is Merv. Damn, good
tall
memory.
Idiot.
Yeah.
It's the same guy. So aside from the Home Alone thing, I mean, without going too far yet, let's talk about the synopsis.
Yes, because not everybody has watched that movie, I think.
I think.
I sure didn't.
Can I tell you something? I would be surprised if anybody.
I find it hard to believe.
Well, number one, what's it have in Rotten Tomatoes? 11%?
11% we found out.
That? Yeah. Come on, it deserves better.
It does. It does. I think so. Yes.
That's a 35.
It's a 42.
It's still like not passing the test, but it's still fun.
It's going to be less than 50 for sure.
It's going to be less than 50.
It's less than half of what it should be, I think.
100%.
I don't know. Well, we'll get to that, but this is synopsis time. So take us through it, Evan, if you don't mind, because you seem to know that movie a lot.
I certainly do. So, okay, a couple of beats you have to hit here. And actually, a couple of storylines are kind of forgiven and they kind of got forgotten about. Yeah. So let's just do storyline A. There's a delivery driver which is Daniel Stern.
Yeah.
He gets framed for murder.
Yes.
Right? Delivering a package, the house burns down.
Okay, so he shows up to a house for a delivery. And then how does he get hoodwinked? That part, I got to say, it went a little fast for me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there are some concepts here that I just kind of didn't go back to. So basically, they had set that fire. They set the home on fire, knowing he was going to deliver the package at exactly 10 p.m.
Okay.
So the guy who got murdered was in cahoots with the FBI guy.
Oh, I see.
What was their relationship? Sexual? I don't know.
We don't know yet.
We don't know. Exactly. To this day, I don't even think we know.
It's just the guy just knows that he's being framed for murder.
Yes.
And then he runs.
He runs.
Yes.
He runs away. So Daniel Stern FBI agent puts a gun to his head and he's like, no, not for me. And he jumps out the window. Cue scene with scouts talking about their big trip up to the mountains.
Meanwhile, there's a group of scouts.
Group of scouts, little boys.
All boys.
All boys at first.
All boys.
You got the fat kid.
There's a fat kid. Yes, there's all the tropes in that group. It's the perfect group.
Right.
It's the perfect group of child actors, I think.
It's great.
It's basically, it was made in a lab. Like, so you got the fat guy. You got the nerd. You got the runt, as we said.
The runt is what we kept calling him.
The weak guy.
Yeah. He actually...
Life is hard out at home.
Yeah, he died.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Spoiler, the actor...
He passed. So yeah, we got the runt. We got the hero, kind of like the good-looking, smart guy.
I said generic. He's a generic
guy.
He's the guy that kids identify with, I guess.
Yeah, he's like the TJ in Recess. Like, he's like...
There's also the badass guy. He has a baseball cap, and it's like backwards.
It's always on backwards.
It's backwards. He's like a little bit edgier. You can tell. Yeah. He's like the AJ of...
Yeah, Backstreet Boys. That's a Backstreet Boys
reference. He's the AJ of that. You know, he's the one that would rap if they were a boy band.
Yeah, he's the first one to smoke weed.
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
but exactly. Then become a lawyer, like, so quick.
Like, instantly. And, like, married with kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Before 20.
Yeah, they're always so cool as kids.
Yeah.
Then they just turn out to be so lame because they've done it before. They were the cool kid. So, then enters... So the kids are having fun, farting around.
Just being boys.
They're actually literally just pushing each other and like farting and yelling.
Yes.
Just like the boys are having good times.
Yes.
Then, whoops, what's this? It opens the door. It's a girl.
It's a girl.
Can you imagine a girl entering Boy Scouts? Is it not called Boy Scouts? Sorry?
Not anymore. It's the 90s, baby.
This is kind of a progressive movie, actually. That
well,
way.
She is a feminist icon. We're going to just say that right now.
Right? But it's like that Matilda trope. Like you have this... this girl who's, I don't want to call her pretty because she's like 9.
Yes, please.
But she has a symmetrical face.
She does. She looks like, for some of you, all of you probably that didn't watch that movie, she looks exactly like the Olsen twins.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Both of them, like the better parts of both.
Yeah, basically. Right? Oh my God, that sounds really bad.
No, I know.
Oh, she looks identical. In certain shots, certain angles, I'm like, okay, you went out, it's the 90s.
Yeah.
You want a little girl. You want her to be blonde because it's the 90s.
It's a Kirsten Dunst effect from E.T. So like some of those kids I was looking up on Wikipedia, one of them is, he's a blacksmith at a Renaissance fair. That's what he does for work now.
Wow. That's a better life than being a child actor.
Well, it's kind of like, if you look at child actors and where they end up, I mean, at best, you get Macaulay Culkin.
That's a good way to go, for sure.
At best, you get Culkin. Right?
He's doing good these days. Anyway,
he's kind of turned his degenerate attitude into like a selling point.
Good for him. Use all that money to better himself.
Right?
Must be nice.
But then you've got the girl comes in and she's like smart and sensible. Everything she says is just so logical.
She's so smart. She has like a reply for everything. Like they're throwing at her.
Genius. She's a genius.
Yes.
Oh, we should say you pointed this out. The Farrelly brothers, I think, wrote
an uncredited rewrite, is what I read.
So they punched up the script, and you can tell.
You can tell.
The 90s were the Farrelly brothers, bread and butter.
Remind us who the Farrelly brothers are.
So they did Dumb and Dumber.
Yes.
There's Something About Mary.
Yeah.
They did The Ringer. One of them Peter just did The Green Book, which won
I haven't seen that one.
Oscar. But that's the kind of outside their wheelhouse. Usually they're all about like farts.
Especially in that era, they were like known for snappy.
Yeah. Or bees and... Yeah. So anyway, the scouts end up going up this mountain with the fugitive, the man who was framed for murder, Daniel Stern.
Yes.
They end up with him as their scout leader through a series of hijinks.
Yes. He becomes the irresponsible adult in charge.
He becomes the irresponsible adult in charge.
Of kids, which is turned out to be a trope, I think, later on. It might be.
Yeah.
The first one, you know, daddy daycare or whatever, like those.
Daddy
like
daycare.
The Rock, who suddenly is a babysitter or whatever.
And the Tooth Fairy. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like so many of those movies are made now.
You're not supposed to be that.
Yeah, exactly.
But you are. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Bad Santa.
Thank God the kids are smarter than you, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, it ends up, of course, the kids save him, but he saves the kids. And it's a beautiful little kind of story where everything kind of ends up fine. But, you know, through the movie, there's some darkness, some really heavy existential...
They're facing a lot of challenges, for sure.
They really are.
Because what they want to do, if I remember correctly, they want to get to the Devil's Peak.
Devil's Peak.
Why do they want to go to the Devil's Peak?
Because they're intercepting the final package.
Oh, yeah. Final package.
$1 million.
He's a
delivery man. So this guy is so good at his job.
Yes.
He's like, I'm going to climb this mountain.
No, I made a promise. I signed that slip.
That's right.
So the kids want to go to the peak as well, right? Because they want to... earn some badges, I believe.
They want to get all of their badges.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, when you're that age, all you care about is those badges.
For sure.
Right?
Tokens of appreciation.
Seriously, you don't have sexuality.
I wasn't a scout myself. Yeah. Were you yourself too?
I made it to Cubs.
Okay, that's good.
Not
Did
great.
You have any badges?
I think they give you some.
When yes, you,
like,
exactly.
Don't wait for the first day. Like, here's like, showing up.
Here, there you go. You sat down.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't. I wasn't a badge man. No.
No?
Were you?
Yes, actually, yeah.
Oh,
but
really?
Only for the ones that I really wanted to do.
Yeah.
I remember I did the only one I remember, it was pretty cool. It was a creativity badge.
Oh, it's awesome.
And I liked it because on it was just like, it was like a falcon with a quill.
Oh, okay.
And I thought it was cool. And
that's pretty cool.
I really wanted that badge, but I had like a whole list of things I had to do. And then, like, write a poem, you know what I mean? Like, perform it in front of people.
Right.
I had to invent. Oh, this is absolutely not on fucking track, but we'll get back to that
we'll
track.
We'll get back there.
Here's a funny story. So I wasn't a scout, right? And I won my creativity badge. Mm. And it says in my list of things to do for that, I had to invent a secret code.
Like a
secret language.
Yeah.
But we had like a book full of secret codes, just like flowers. And then you put like the number of petals on the flowers corresponds to a letter.
This is the scouts.
That was like the scouts. Like,
this is not the CIA.
No, but like, it's just like, what if you have to leave a message in a forest? So you don't want other scouts to find out. Or
that
something.
Is insane. You're so like you 7 years old.
So you write you just draw flowers and like you write like a petal, like one petal would be an A and then 13 petal would be like, I don't know, M or whatever the 13 letter is.
What?
So I had to invent one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I invented, it was like a birch? Birch trees?
Birch trees, of course.
So, you know how they have, they're like white
the
bark?
The white bark.
But they have like tiny little black lines?
Yeah.
So I was like, you draw a forest. Every birch tree has like one line is A. Like the number of line on the birch corresponds. It was basically a ripoff of that flower thing. Honestly, I just wanted my badge.
But ripoff or not, I mean, that's a pretty heavy duty.
You know, at the time I thought I was getting away with murder. I was like, oh my God, this is so not original, but I don't have no idea. So I was
you're
like,
designing an atomic bomb for your bed.
Well, here's the best part of this story though. Years later, and I was in a Quebec Scouts, just to be clear.
Of course.
Where my allegiance are. And
I was
in the Quebec Scouts. And years later, like I'm now a teenager, I don't care anymore about anything. And then my little cousin is in the Scouts now himself.
Like,
years
like
later.
Currently?
No. Well, oh, okay. Like years later when I'm a teenager.
Sure.
But he's in the Canadian Scouts, which is a different organization. And I'm like flipping through his book.
Yeah.
His little manual.
Oh, yeah.
And I see my code.
What?
My birch goes in there.
They used your code?
They used my code. They never told me.
You didn't get any credit for it?
No.
Just like scouts learning secret languages.
I would have
languages.
Never learned if it was like a different organization entirely. So I don't know how that worked.
Did you invented a language?
I might have.
And someone stole
I'm
it.
Basically a genius. No, but I seriously, I was like, what the fuck? Like, I don't care. Like, I know there's no money in it or whatever. I just, as a kid, it would have been good for my self-confidence to know that I did something that they, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Is there a chance someone else just did the same code?
There's no way it was so good.
It was so specific.
It was very secret. You're right. No, you're right. But that's my scout story.
No, I'm not right. I'm giving you that code. Look, okay, how about this? For Christmas, I'll get you a badge.
Yay!
You
know what? I
badge.
Still have that badge.
You actually got the badge?
I can show it to you. It's behind you. It's on my...
I'm not really that interested, to be honest with you, but... Just what, you still have it?
Yes, it's still
okay,
on my badge.
Okay, because earlier you're like, I'm kind of a bit of a hoarder. I'm like, no, you are. Now she's like, I have a badge.
I have a badge
seven.
That I have so very few mementos, but the ones I have, I'm like, I'm never letting go.
Okay, I'm starting to learn a little bit more about you.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, I'm learning about you.
Yes.
Well, I mean, specifically the bushwhack years.
The bushwhack years were big, man. Like, I was like, at the time, I played hockey.
You did?
I didn't have an entity. Yeah, I was really kind of floating in this world. I didn't really have an entity until...
Like a slacker 8-year-old.
Kinda, yeah. Like I didn't become a person, I don't think, until I started playing in bands and like I started listening to music and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I found like creativity and like whatever.
Yeah.
But I was just like a guy, just like a kind of a chubby guy. Like, so this movie was just perfect.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of boys.
Bunch of boys.
Around.
We were saying at some point they jump in a van and they're just kind of like,
so
hey,
fun.
And then I was like, I want to be in that van.
Right?
I want to be with them. I want to go on a trip.
It's a beautiful snapshot of a time.
Oh, yeah. So we're coming back to the synopsis.
Oh, okay. Synopsis. Yes.
Where were we? So like they're going to the peak because they want to have that final delivery. And they encounter so many obstacles.
So many obstacles.
There's like cliffs. Yeah. There's trees. There's the bear that I mentioned earlier.
That's right.
River at some point. It's very discombobulated.
I mean,
I'm using that word. I'm sticking to it.
I'm not even going to try, but that the you find the simple lesson to walk away with is never judge a person by what they have done in the past.
Yeah.
Sure, this man may have killed somebody. I don't know.
Everybody can get better.
I think he actually did the murder.
Everybody can redeem themselves.
And also, children are way smarter than adults.
Yes.
Is kind of the main takeaway from this movie.
And also, I wrote down, girls are smarter than boys, but they can only be one of them at a time.
There can only be one girl per scene.
Exactly.
There was, this movie would pass a Bechdel test, surely.
I don't think so, no.
No. Well, yeah, the mother of Gordy.
She never speaks to that little... There's only the mother and the little girl. That's it. There's no other female character at all.
There's hysterical women in the background yelling. Actually, one faints.
They don't have any lines.
One faints. Hysterical hysterical woman faints.
So 90s. Yeah, they don't have lines and they don't have names. So it doesn't... If you're going to go Bechdel test, I'm really dumb.
Well, if we're going Bechdel test... Well, I'm just thinking because like the mother of Gordy is the one who discovers Devil's Peak.
Yeah, but also she gets captured like instantly.
Immediately.
Like she gets captured.
You hated that scene. Okay,
so they finally go to the Devil's Peak.
Devil's Peak.
After so many tribulations, they get hunted down by the guy from the CIA.
FBI.
The FBI. And then lost again and then found again. They reach the house. They're like putting money in big bags because
that's what they do.
To say that like, this is it. This is the final scene.
Yeah.
And then they capture the mother mm-hmm. of one of the kids who was like, I'm going to save those kids. And then she took like a Hummer, basically.
Yeah, it's a Hummer.
And then she was driving through the woods like, oh, like being scared, but driving it super fast at the same time.
Yeah, it's a Hummer, man. You got to drive fast.
If you're that scared, just like slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. But I'm just a woman. What do I know?
Right.
And then when they finally arrive to the final house where the final, you know, scene is going to be at, the mother's been captured and she's tied to a chair.
So much rope.
With so much rope.
It's an obnoxious
amount of
rope.
The amount of rope.
Yeah.
Used in that scene.
Like, I think her limbs were like free. Like, I think she could have gotten
She was
kind
of loosened them too. She was just kind of like,
it was like a blanket of rope.
Around.
It was silly. And also, this is one of those movies in like, I guess every kid's movie is like this, or every 90s movie is where people get so close to dying so often, but no one dies.
Yes. Nope.
Like, why did they have to, not to be morbid, why are we tying this woman up in all this rope and presumably going to, why don't you just kill her?
Yeah.
Why aren't we just killing people?
Exactly.
There's so many guns. That's also indicative of the time.
A lot of guns.
Before school shootings.
Yes. A lot of cigarettes too. Not aware on that.
A lot of darts.
Yeah.
But a lot of guns around kids. There's one scene where he wakes up in his tent. And it's from this, quite a nice little shot. And he wakes up and his gun's like pointing at a kid's face.
But yeah, no, they keep doing the same trope of the villain that instead of like killing the person that's in their way right away, they just tie them up or they just like, oh, let's go talk over this cliff. I'm going to tell you exactly what my plan is.
Oh, that's classic. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
one final thing to say.
Oh my God. So yeah. There was a lot of that. Anyway, so they get to the final place with the money and the mother's tied up. He tries to rescue her.
Yeah, he tries to untie her.
And then they have the visual yet of him being tied in the rope too because he's so bad at untying.
It's actually quite,
tied
that's quite funny.
It was pretty good. I was like, that's why there was so much rope.
So they could play that gag.
Exactly.
And it did play well. It played well with me.
Me too. At this point, yeah. I was in. I was buying whatever.
Whatever they were selling, I was pretty much in.
But yeah, so that happens. And then I guess he unties her.
No, they have the gun. They pull the gun on both of them and they walk both of them out. Untied.
Okay.
To do the final killing off the deck.
Finally.
And again, this is the second time where they're at the edge of a cliff going like, okay, this is my monologue. And they go into the grocery list of items they have to tell. And during when that happens, obviously with the kid comes up and punches and
yes.
That's kind of annoying. Like that, you know, it's just so classic.
If very much it is.
Yeah.
And then how did it get resolved again? There was so many of those moments where they were just hanging off.
They're hanging off cliffs.
I wrote, I think I counted four times where they were
hanging off things.
A cliff.
Yeah.
Or like a tree, or like there was like so many. I mean, I guess you're going to have a mountain movie that's like set on a mountain.
You're going to have a few of those scenes. I think they used the joke twice though. I could be wrong. How's it hanging? They used it twice, I think. Definitely once at the end.
Yeah.
But I think there's another scene where they use
all those little quips, those little
cute quips. There's a couple of funny jokes there, like when they're doing the smoke signals and they spelled help wrong. It's like, what's it say? Belp. Belp. Cute little scene.
Sorry. Oh my God. Yes. Oh, there were so many really good scenes like that.
The football scene's a classic. A Stone Cold classic is when he grabs the hornet's nest.
Oh my God.
Instead of an acorn.
Yes. Okay.
And he's playing with
it. How about anxiety inducing is that? So at some point, Howard Stern decides that he was going to. Oh yeah, they're playing food. What is it?
Howard Stern. Daniel Stern.
No, they're picking up pine cones.
They're picking up pine cones.
And he picks them. He's like, oh, I have one too. And it's like a bee.
It's a bee's nest.
Like he just like monkeys around with it for a long time.
For way too long.
The bees. Actually, something I wrote down too. Like they would elongate some. Because in real life, if you grab a nest, it's going to come at you like right now. Like,
yeah. You
know? But like they would elongate those moments.
Of course.
A lot. I like editing. So I like the punchy editing. And then sometimes I was like, ooh, it's dragging. And I don't know if you agree.
Too many beats.
Yes. I don't know if you agree, but I feel like they were trying to, because it was a Howard Stern. No, not Howard
Daniel
Stern. Daniel Stern.
Yeah.
A vehicle. So I feel like they were trying to like leave him room to ad lib.
And to play with it. Like obviously like him doing that for so long, it gave us the, ow, ooh, yeah.
And I'm still, but I was very much so afraid of bees as a kid.
Well, 100%.
A lot.
Terrifying. Another good gag with that was the kid comes from the bushes and he has that manual. He's like, the pine cone manual. He's looking at the pine cone. He's like, sir, I don't think that's a pine cone at all. What?
I think at that point, there's already bees coming out of it. It's like, where does he have a book? The book is not necessary.
Love it. another scene that I remember as a kid I used to be fascinated with was the bear scene.
Yeah?
Where you play dead.
Oh, yes.
Which I think started a series of kids believing that that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to.
Are you not? I don't know.
With a predatory bear?
I'm from a big city. You tell me Nova Scotia.
Oh, I'm from a small town. I've never been around a bear, but
Are there bears in Nova Scotia? I don't even know.
There are cougars.
Okay.
Because if you play dead, I think this movie probably has claimed a couple lives.
So yeah, that scene. I want to know more about how why you like that scene.
They're just playing really playing with the line of life and death.
Yes, yeah, that's the closest they looked at.
Yeah.
There was a couple of shots I remember where I hope it's dummy or something because he just really like the bear really
he
like throws
around,
it around.
Man.
He looked really limp, and I don't know why. I can see my inner child be like, oh, like, oh,
terrifying.
Yeah, there's like a bit of blood, even. Should I say blood? Was there blood, or did I imagine?
I don't know if there's blood. I think it was psychological violence more than anything.
Yeah.
But there's a couple scenes where things got heavy, like on the bridge.
The bridge scene.
On the drawbridge, right?
Yes, the bridge scene was. It reminded me of old Hollywood, like old Westerns and stuff.
There's that tension built.
The tension building.
Yeah.
The composition of the shot with the two sides.
That's right.
And it reminded me of these old Westerns of old Hollywood.
They kind of call him Mad Max. So this guy has a criminal history that we're not even privy to.
And that's
right. We have to keep in mind that he was willing to kill this kid on the bridge. He was hacking.
That's true.
At this drawstring bridge.
He had it.
He's like, dude, I'm going to kill you and I will not think twice.
Yeah.
Play your cards.
There's too much on the line here.
I don't care.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, we're rooting for this man who moments ago, before our eyes, was just about to kill a child. And we as an audience are just supposed to forget about all the awful things. Keep in mind, this man crazy glued a man's chin.
Yes.
And hands to a steering wheel.
That made me laugh so hard.
It was like, just drive.
I laughed so hard at that.
It's such a physical bit. It's so funny. And if it were to be sold now, it would be a black comedy. Like a Coen Brothers kind of movie. Because the first scene, I love that. He's walking down the road. I guess New York, presumably. Chewing gum. And he goes to the convenience store and he orders...
Obnoxiously chewing gum.
Gum. He orders more gum. He's like, give me some Hubba Bubba, two packs of Marlboros, and a slushy.
Yeah.
Like, and that is that's the first line of the movie. And it's like, oh, this is the character. This is the bad man. You can tell he's bad
he's just pulling those faces.
Yeah.
It's just a little sleaze bag.
A little sleaze bag.
They do use that word at some point.
And the way he's chewing the gum is just so cartoonish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the worst. I get really triggered by loud chewing. So I was like, okay, I hate you.
I hate that.
That's the easiest way for me to hate a character is if you make them chew too much.
And it's like back in the 90s when gum was like gross. Like it was candy.
Yes.
Like now gum is like whitening and good for your teeth.
It's true.
Back then it was just gobs of sugar.
Yeah. But yeah, at some point they even make him spit out his gum. Yeah. I remember when I was turned to you and I was like, oh my God, no one does that anymore.
No one does that anymore.
It used to be a huge deal in the 90s to chew gum. I was like, I don't think so, mister. Like, give it to me. No one would ever dare.
Because I think it was a sign of disrespect.
Yes.
Like you can't really be like a disrespectful kid and chew like Excel whitening.
He was an adult.
Yeah, but he was chewing like Hubba Bubba, like, fuck you.
Yeah, gross.
I won't do what you tell me.
Yeah.
But if you're chewing like a mint.
It was a symbol of his...
His whole thing was so cartoonish. He was unbelievable.
He was great.
He was great.
I think Donald Stern? Daniel
Stern.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You ultimately encountered the great tragedy of Daniel Stern. We just watched the movie and we've said his name so many times, but even saying his name, we don't really do it right.
Yeah.
He's we've done him dirty as a society.
Well, we have. Here's what we found out. We were researching the movie a little bit, and then apparently Daniel Stern, after Home Alone, I guess, he signed a multi-movie contract with the 20th Century Fox, and Bushwhack was the first one. And then Bushwhack flopped so hard.
So bad.
That he just never made the rest of the movies of his... He just basically tanked his career.
And he kind of just bounced.
But he was good. I thought he was a great actor.
Yeah, I think kind of a flash in the pan. He's one of those guys. He might be like a McConaughey guy. Like in 5 years, maybe we'll see him do this role.
I mean, he's a man. He can come back anytime.
Right? I mean, you and I are on board.
Honestly, yes. I thought he was a very good actor. The only, I'm not an actress myself, but I feel like he was like, he started the movie, he was at 100%.
Yeah.
He never backed down from that. It was just like 100% the whole time. It was like no like really subtleties or nuance in this
thing. I mean, he was like literally a cartoon character. Like, he was like...
constantly making faces. A la Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey, Chris Farley.
Yeah. You can tell that he was in the same... era. As those guys like, I gotta constantly be making a face.
That was his bread and butter. I mean, that's what we wanted as a culture too.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing wrong with that. It works.
I wanted that.
I was trying to find like modern example, like contemporary movies these days that would have that as a lead, a guy that would just constantly make faces. And unless it's like a new Jim Carrey movie, which he still do, I don't feel that it's like so much of a genre anymore.
Well, we don't really respond to that stuff anymore.
Not as a main character. We do like a zany side character.
We like zany, but like comedy changes so much and it becomes cyclical. I'm sure we'll be back to it. Man, there's a couple dark scenes.
Yes, the one that pops to mind because we talked about it at length when it happened is when he almost says the word fuck.
Yeah, okay, so language. Yeah, you're right. So the almost F word happens after they peed on a man's head.
Yes, exactly.
Great scene.
But also kind of dark. I thought that was a little...
He's like dancing in the rain. It looks like it is raining.
Yeah, it's like, that cool mountain rain.
Cool mountain rain. Then there's seven children just pissing on him.
Seven boys.
And they look up, and then Mad Max looks down, the fugitive. And they lock eyes. That's the first moment where they lock eyes.
That's the first moment where they really got to them.
And he goes, oh, fuck.
Then he realizes the kids are there. Yeah. And then he goes, at the end. Yeah. Like, oh, that was the closest.
I think that was a wink at the parents that took their kids to see the movie.
For sure.
Like, hey, guys, I know you're still here.
It wasn't that much of a wink, though. It was like a
headbutt. Yeah.
It was just like a poof, no fun.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I was very surprised by that.
No,
It was a choice.
Yeah, I think it's just like, if they play that movie dark the whole way through and let the swearing happen, let a kid die. Let someone get shot. Like, they could have went the whole way. I think they were just kind of playing the middle too much in that movie. Either take it to the left, make it more childish and goofy, or take it to the right and just make it gnarly.
Which is why I was talking about the tone earlier. I was like, I don't know.
And the tone, exactly.
What are you going for, really?
I mean, it was in the world of Ace Ventura, The Mask. It was in that
company. I wanted to say Judge of the Jungle, but I feel like that was later, though. I'd say we take a break.
Let's take a break and recalculate.
Yes, I'm going to take a break for my sponsors, and we'll be right back. And we are back.
Okay, back to Bushwhacked.
We were here for Bushwhacked.
And I think the beauty of this movie, just thinking about it now, not only does it bring me directly back to childhood, but just for that hour and a half, probably hour 20. Those movies don't go over an hour 20 usually.
It was very efficient.
Very tight. And just you're kind of in a different world.
You are.
Right? You're in the mountains with the boys.
You're in the mountains, yes.
It was a nice escape.
It really was. It's very wholesome. There's a lot of friendship there.
Yeah.
A lot of good sentiment.
Exactly.
But as I was talking about previously, when the main character turns around, he's like, these are my kids. Like this feeling of belonging.
It's hard, man.
It would hit hard. Every kid feels lonely at some point.
That's right.
So it's fun to be...
And that's why those tropes kind of worked, because you could kind of squeeze yourself in some sort of box.
Exactly.
Everyone wanted to be the generic kind of hot, smart guy.
Yes.
But realistically, no one was.
I'm definitely the nerd.
Yeah, you're not even the girl. You're like the...
Oh, yeah. I forgot she was there.
That's the thing. You guys got one character usually.
Every damn time. If you start looking at it this way, you're like, oh, yeah, there's always the one girl. And she's like super smart, but like just...
It's almost more offensive that she's like super smart. Like, why can't she just be like a normal person?
It puts a lot of pressure.
Right?
It's like girls, they have to be good at it. But like not only good, but they have to be better at everything or otherwise they're just meh as a girl.
Yeah.
I think.
What I did like about it, how witty she was.
She had some good lines.
Very witty.
She did have some good lines. How do you feel about the child actors in this movie? The acting of the childs?
I mean...
The children?
The children were without question, the stars of the film.
Absolutely.
And how do I feel about it? Well, kind of sad looking at their careers now.
Yes.
One of them has passed.
One of them,
as I said, is a blacksmith at a Renaissance fair.
I don't think any of them is still an actor.
One of them is works at Facebook.
Oh, yeah, you did say that. Yes. Well, that's okay.
It's like you were in Bushwhack, dude. Like, come on.
Have some respect.
Put an exclamation point next to your name.
Exactly.
Right?
You have that power.
In theory, but I thought you did, but maybe you don't.
You have that finger on the algorithm.
Right? And
you should rectify.
Child acting in general is always going to make me queasy.
Yes.
It's always kind of one of those gross...
But as a kid, though...
As a kid, I mean, you see yourself in their shoes, right?
Yes. I don't know about you, but... I was fascinated with anything that had a child. Well, not anything, but I really love movies with kids in them.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like, I thought like adults were boring or whatever.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. So we were mentioning before the scene with the bear.
That's right.
That was very iconic for you.
It was a big deal for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when we were watching earlier, I saw you react to the scene. It's very, very quick.
Mm.
It's the ranger guy.
Mm.
First thing we see, introduction to his character.
That's right.
Is a shot of him inside his Hummer vehicle. Humvee. Looking. He's shaving with, I don't know, a blade? How would you call that?
Yeah, sharp.
Like a big,
sharp utensil.
Mountain knife. Like a bit like forest survival knife. A
straight blade. Yeah. Or whatever, something. Yeah.
And he's shaving, dry shaving his own chin as he's driving. And I saw you squirm a little bit. You're like,
still squirm.
That scene marked me when I was a kid.
For sure.
What do you think?
A few things to touch on there. The reason that is in that scene it exists is to show us that he's a real nature man and he doesn't need technology.
He's cool. But cool. I gotta say, tonight was my first time watching that movie.
Yeah.
So first impression, at first I thought he was going to be the mean guy, the bad guy.
Yeah, sure.
Because I was like, ooh,
And the music's kind of like, this guy's like,
the music's very, okay. And aside from the music, I think we might come back later about that, but the music's very present in this movie.
Very thematic. It's sequenced very well. Almost like a John Williams. He did Home Alone.
Well, okay, yeah, it is.
Star Wars.
It felt like John Williams sometimes. But then sometimes it would switch completely in the vibe as well.
Yeah.
I felt like the music was very present in the same. Sometimes like there would be like a comedy scene, but it would be somber music added on top.
Yeah.
I feel like the music was.
The chase scenes.
Play a role, like a bigger role than most movies, because it was kind of like, oh no, like this looks funny, but you should feel fear. Or, oh, this looks...
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Like, first time he got arrested by the cop.
Right.
At first, the cop was, like, super mad.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's, like, you know, brandishing a gun, and it looks bad, but the music's like... And so you know that...
That everything... Yeah.
Nothing bad's gonna happen because the music's like...
You're right.
So it felt very... Sometimes intrusive, I want to say.
Well, that's where your tone problem comes into play.
I think so.
Because if that music wasn't there, that scene would have read as a tension-building scene.
And sometimes it would be like a John Williams-esque. Like,
the orchestra, yeah, yeah.
But sometimes, especially towards the end, it was very uneven. Especially towards the end, the music would be like more like a guitar.
Yeah, as you said, the guy clearly got his nephew to play.
Yeah,
he got his nephew guitar the year before her Christmas.
It's a weird band of like a brass section, like trumpets, like blah, 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 and then like a weird electric guitar, like just soloing.
Yeah.
You know how dudes sometimes go into solos for like too long?
We love it. It's awesome.
But like for this movie, it felt weird. Like,
oh, super weird. This guy's a criminal.
The whole denouement was set to a guitar just going blah, blah, on a scale.
That was obnoxious. That was very obnoxious.
It was a little weird.
There's a couple moments where like, this is great. I get it. It's kind of, there's a somber moment where it's like, bluh, bluh. But the end scene is just all guitar. It's gross.
All guitar.
Gross.
And then the credit music as well is just the guitar guy. It's like the guitar guy showed up late to the session.
Yeah, he's like, I'll finish the end.
I don't remember.
He's not in the end at all.
I don't think he was there in the first
part. No, it's kind of a beautiful sweeping orchestra the whole movie.
Super cute, you know. Hey, there's some kids in the forest. Like, oh, you know, learning about themselves. Like, blah, 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 blah.
His guitar sounds like, you know, when you get like a YouTube, like how to play guitar. Like there's like a demo version.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is what a guitar player sounds like.
Yes. It felt out of place a little bit because also it was more of an 80s thing to do that, I thought. Yeah. Like the Highlander, like it's just guitar all the time and stuff like that. Like it's more like, oh.
Top Gun.
Yeah, it's like, you guys are in the wrong decade right now.
Yeah, man. That was one of the many problems. But...
Yeah, so that scene with the guy, you squirmed at that scene when the guy was, you said, oh, that scene.
I digress. For two reasons.
Yes.
Because a lot of people have like a psychological fear of people messing with their eyes.
Yeah.
Like I know that scene in Clockwork Orange bothers a lot of people.
But
that's not a big deal for me.
No, me neither, but I've heard people voice that out. That
my thing has always been throats.
Oh, shit.
Cutting the jugular.
Yeah.
There's a scene where that guy, that hockey player, the goalie, he got sliced across the neck. And ever since I saw that as a really young kid, and it was one of the most frightening things I saw. It really stuck with me. So when he's playing with a knife so close to his neck, it's like freaks me out. And also, I was a growing boy. I was the same age as those kids in the movie.
Yeah.
And I was entering an age where I might have to shave soon. And I was like, this is what we have to do? Mm-hmm. Is that what dudes do? Like, I didn't know.
I never even thought about that aspect of growing up as a boy. Because obviously, just for my listeners, I'm presenting and born assigned female at birth.
Yeah.
So I never had that fear.
Well, it's
never thought about that.
It's just like what you don't know what to do because you're too young to like ask. And you don't really, you know, I'm becoming an idiot. So like, I didn't know. It's like, is this what I'm going to have to do? Looks
and
hard.
Also, if I might add, they really put like a sound effect of like... Like the scraping.
Yeah, the ADR in this movie and the sound effects were not mixed well.
No, it was not.
Like you'd hear the knife like nail on a chalkboard.
Very loud. And when you're a child and you're watching stuff, it has a way of sometimes impacting you.
Exactly. And that was always a scene. Yeah, just like I was kind of always creeped me out.
Is there other scenes in the movie?
Well, there's that birds and the bees scene.
Yeah, okay.
When the kids are having like a pretty frank and earnest conversation of what it means to... have sex and have babies.
I think the term they use is make babies.
Make babies. But it's kind of cute. It's kind of fun. You know,
it's a common human experience to be talking about.
It's kind of cool to see that in a movie of the kids exploring that.
Yeah.
Not being too gross about it.
And honestly, for how old that movie was, it still kind of holds up a little bit. Like, it's not that gross.
It wasn't politically correct-wise, it wasn't that wild. Well, that's what happened. So the kids were talking about it and it was fine.
Yeah.
And then they got Daniel Stern to describe the birds and the bees.
Yeah.
And he takes those two dolls and just starts fucking them.
Off screen.
Off screen, but it's so heavily implicated that he's doing some gnarly shit. They just do
but
like,
it's still off screen, which is another example of the movie kind of getting away with
almost
being a little...
Definitely.
Not for kids, you know?
And then he's like, so after the guy comes, he has a cigarette and watches Leno.
Yeah, and then and then falls asleep. I thought it was like a really funny scene. Again, he kind of like... It feels out of place a little bit, you know.
It kind of, the tone was kind of dark and funny, but that scene always stood out for me, obviously. Yeah,
but it was funny, though. It was very funny.
With the Playboy, too, like as a kid.
And the faces that kids would make.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, I gotta say, like, we were talking about the child actor before, and I was like,
I just noticed
they were overusing their eyebrows so much.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everything was, like, an eyebrow thing. But, like, they're kids.
Well, they probably took one acting class and, like, acting 101. Like, be expressive with your face.
Yeah, exactly. They did fine, but it was
anytime anyone said anything remotely shocking, just 17 eyebrows.
He's like, the eyebrows were just like...
You can hear the sound.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I can say this is a good movie. It doesn't deserve 11%.
Thank you. And ultimately, that's what I'm trying to show. I mean, the reason I brought it was because I wanted to see it.
Yes.
And because I think it's a perfect kind of just fun 90s movie that represented my culture.
There's so many tropes in... Yeah.
Tropes, and I knew it wouldn't be offensive.
How does
offensive.
It represent your culture, you think? I'm interested in that part.
Well, I didn't really grow up in the... Like, I kind of grew up in the suburbs. Yeah, it's just like kind of like the safe...
Yeah.
The suburban humor of it all.
Yes, yes.
Very, very...
Very bad ever happened.
Anglicized.
Yeah.
I would say, like, the
very
whole thing.
Very white.
Right.
No, sorry, I'm just...
No, but it
the
is.
The movie is very white, though.
I don't think there's one person of color.
I didn't see any character. Oh, no. Sorry. His boss, the first scene.
There we go.
Black. That's it.
There we go.
I think that's the only character of color, well, I mean, that has lines.
Yeah. He's quite a prominent role. But yeah, there's a lot. I think they were going to take this movie somewhere else, and they just took it a different direction, like, at some point.
It was a bit of nostalgia for me anyway, because that was my first time.
Yeah.
So I didn't have like the connection that you had, but but to me it was interesting to see like all the 90s, like the 90s haircut, the cars, the clothing, you know, I don't know what we know, but 90s are like what?
But I mean,
30 years ago.
Well, that movie was 25 years ago.
So it's actually a period piece at this point.
It's a period piece, and some of it's cyclical, like some of the clothing's coming back.
For sure.
And the movie's also good because it's not like overly offensive. Like a lot of those movies, you're going to see the blatant homophobia and...
Yeah, there was no... Oh, man. Remember one of the first few scenes that mom pulls in a van with wood panels? That was nice.
The wood panel van. That was nice.
That was very nice for me to see. I was appreciating that moment.
There's a couple of cool scenes when you first meet the kids. They're climbing what appears to be a mountain.
Yes. Like, oh, my God.
Then the shift in...
The perspective
change.
Yeah. This
and they're in
like,
a driveway.
What are you guys doing? They're just on the floor the entire time.
On the driveway.
Wow, they got me.
They got me, man.
They got me too. It was pure like switcheroo, fucking 90s romp stuff. And you try to write tropes as I saw them.
So many hijinks. Yeah, so many tropes.
Because we were saying as we were watching it, it's like tropes after tropes.
The city slicker FBI agent couldn't make it in the... forest.
Yes, but he's like in a suit in the forest.
He's in a suit, yeah.
Oh, man. Like, there was so many of those tropes. There was a...
the overprotective parent.
Yes.
Who wouldn't sign the release.
That was a good one, too.
It was threatening to sue everyone. And
for sure. It was just pure 90s. It was a pure 90s fucking...
It was a total flashback to my childhood.
Very efficient.
It was very efficient. I really do recommend to your listeners to watch the movie.
Yeah. I would also
watch the movie and get transported back to 95 for a minute.
Just for a minute.
It's fun.
Times were simpler.
It's an easy watch. I mean, that flew by.
It sure did.
You
25
know?
Years, man.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I was thinking about like mentioning a couple of trivia things that
I found out.
I think you would enjoy them. To me, it's new stuff. But
okay.
So while they were filming the climbing sequences.
Yeah.
Daniel Stern apparently on purpose avoided any exercise because he said he wanted to better enhance just how out of his element his character was.
Oh, okay. That's sure.
It was method acting.
By just not exercising.
By just not exercising. He was doing it for us.
So he was sedentary for years.
Yeah. And he was like, you know what? I could practice this shit.
Yeah.
But I won't.
I'm going to just go on my trailer and do a bunch of cocaine.
Exactly.
Just because that's what this guy would do.
This is what the movie needs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's insane.
I thought that was funny.
Funny.
It's a funny tidbit. Oh, yeah. Okay, so Brad Sullivan is in that movie.
The Ranger,
yes.
Yeah.
When I first saw him, I was like, who is that guy? I think I've seen him before. And we looked into it, and he was in Slapshot. And he was in Canadian Bacon. I believe he's like a Canadian comedy dude.
He must be.
And then so I read in the trivia part of that movie that in order to warm up for the day's shooting, Brad Sullivan, who by the way looks like a mix between Gilbert Gottfried and Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh my god, that's a perfect way to put it.
He's like the middle point in the two.
That is hilarious. Yeah.
Before the day's shooting, he would run backwards around the ski complex where the actors would stay in. Like, just...
Yeah.
Running is a thing, but why would you do it? What's your deal, buddy?
Hollywood was just like a weird time at that point.
I guess so.
You did things like that.
He probably was on cocaine too.
He surely was, yeah.
That makes sense. Man, we're almost done with this movie. I think...
We are almost done. I have one thing to ask you.
Yes.
So it's titled Bushwhacked.
It is titled Bushwhacked, which is not a word that I was familiar with before. You had to tell me what it meant.
Well, I don't even know if I know what it means.
Okay, so I just looked up what bushwhacked actually means.
Throw it at me.
It means to clear a path through thick woods by cutting down bushes and low tree branches.
I guess there is that one scene where he has a cigarette in his mouth.
Yeah.
And he like runs behind them and he's kind of whacking his arms.
Oh,
maybe there's a bit of nod to the title in that scene.
It's probably like deeper. He's bushwhacking against his own demons to become a better man.
Right. I mean, at the heart of this movie, it's a French philosophy movie.
It probably is.
Right?
I think so. I think Sasha would be very pleased.
I think so. No exit.
Speaking of Sasha.
Yes.
I think, Evan, you're my first guest.
Yes.
All right. This is a new podcast. I'm still figuring this out. Yeah. But I think I want to bring up, I think this is going to be a thing. I think I want to bring up what the French name for the movie in question that we're going to be talking about.
I think you should.
Is because I don't know if you noticed, but in French, when we dub movies, especially in the 90s, they would give entirely different names for movies. Like they wouldn't just like translate it.
Yeah.
Or even try to go near it. They would be like, no, we got this.
Right.
We know what this movie is about. Let me tell you what's the title is this.
Love it.
So I looked up during the break what bushwhack was in French, and it was Max Zéro Malgré Lui, which basically translated into a paragraph, as usually French translation go, and it's like Max Zero against his own will, his will.
So I think what that's referring to is Max is the main character, Mad Max, is his nickname, Zero being like a loser. Against his own will being, well, he didn't plan to be a scout.
No, I know. But
it's amazing. No, it's spot
Isn't
on.
Isn't it amazing? I don't know. Need to have all this information in the title?
I honestly think like you're not giving enough credit. Like I think that for me, because you know, I spend hours on Netflix just browsing.
You do?
If every movie title was like, Max is a loser, he doesn't like his thing, it's like, okay, maybe I like that movie.
Really? There's a description under the title. The title should be something that's easy Googleable so I can fucking research it. Or
oh, man, it's like watching Citizen Kane. If that was titled instead, Fat Man Buys Paper, Loses Sled. It's like, yes. See what I mean? Like, it's just like, oh cool, I'll watch that.
Perhaps. I don't know.
How am I defending your culture?
I like a good title where you're like, you have to figure it out for yourself.
How am I defending the French here?
I know, right?
I think it's a beautiful thing.
Never happened before.
I love it. You guys really hit the nail on the head with that one.
Okay, well, you know what? I'll take it for right? the French team. I'll
Air
take
Bud.
It
for the French team. Stupid dog can throw a ball.
That dog is not stupid, sir.
Hey, you're the one who...
Very smart dog.
Eats meat. Yeah, it's insane to me. It's like naming Schindler's List, like he didn't actually save as many Jews as he wanted.
Exactly.
No, I don't. Well, I don't. Let me know the journey, man.
Deadbeat German.
Yeah.
Could have done more.
Good stuff.
That's pretty good. Anyway, I think this is. Do you have anything you want to add?
No, it's such a pleasure.
You did? Yeah. You're welcome to my house all the time.
I loved it.
But it was such a pleasure to have you in my house eating Subway and washing bushwhacked.
Bushwhacked.
I'm so glad that it's not part of my repertoire.
No, so you, as a little French girl,
yes.
If you had seen this on the TV, would you have enjoyed it?
I probably would have.
Would you have enjoyed it?
I think so. Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's absolutely like very Home Alone-y, very like physical slapstick comedy.
You like that stuff?
As a kid, I loved it.
Yeah.
Also, the friendship aspect of it that I mentioned before, I've been very drawn to that.
Yeah.
I love storylines where the kids are smarter than the adults.
It's great.
I don't anymore, but at the time I was like, that's right. I thought I was the smartest.
Now that we're adults, it's like, no, they're not smarter than us.
Well, I was bright. Don't get me wrong. But
yeah,
I was
you couldn't do online banking. You know what I mean?
No, like, exactly. Yeah. I couldn't fucking save somebody from a fucking torrent going to a fucking precipice.
Exactly.
I don't know. But it's fun to think about.
It is.
And
the
scout thing too, because I was a scout, so that's cool as well.
Yeah.
I responded to that very much. So.
Yeah.
I didn't like the, I don't know. I feel like I might not have liked the main character too much though.
He was too kind of cartoonish?
Yes, I think so.
Too on the nose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit too intense.
Yeah.
Like he was too intense all the way. Like if you maybe modulated his intensiveness, like if he was.
He was at a 10 the whole time.
The whole time.
Yeah.
He's like the Alicia Keys of fucking 90s comedy.
I don't know what that means, but I love it.
I love Alicia Keys, but like she starts her song and she's like, and then she never stops belting.
It's
just
down.
Why don't you do like Tina Turner or something? It was just like kind of like, nah, 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 nah.
Right.
And then at the end you belt. It makes it so much powerful.
Yeah, I don't know where Daniel Stern got his acting lessons from.
I don't know.
Right, a fire.
Exactly. But we know how much they were worth.
Yeah.
And it's that one movie.
Well, if anything, we get him another hit on.
Yeah,
Bushwhacked.
Maybe he's
so this could be the
have a resurgence. You think he's gonna come back? You think he might?
I really do.
Robert Downey Jr.
McConaughey kind of situation where it's like he's gonna come back as like a wise, like sage man.
Yeah.
It's gonna be like a really like iconic,
like anti casting. They call it or counter casting.
Counter casting. Like he'll be, you know, some desperate writer.
Yeah.
Who's having divorce problems?
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
Absolutely. Like a Kaufman movie.
Not the Andy Kaufman, Charlie Kaufman.
Charlie Kaufman, yes.
Yeah,
exactly. That's the one I'm talking about.
Exactly, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, MJ.
It was truly a pleasure.
Episode one in the can.
Episode one in the can.
Yeah.
I feel really good.
Did you miss it? No, did I miss it? Did you miss me? What's it called?
What did I miss? With MJ Bork?
What did I miss with MJ Bork?
That's right. That's a wrap. That's the first episode done, guys. Oh my God, we had so much fun recording this episode. As you can see, we're still figuring things out. I'm still toying with the format and such. It's a lot of fun. If there's anyone out there listening at all, I mean, is there anyone out there? No, if you're listening to this and you have like, I don't know, ideas, suggestions, absolutely, reach out to me. Send them to me. I'll read them. I will. I'll read them. Send it to me. It's at What Did I Miss Podcast. I somehow snagged that handle on Facebook. For now, that's the best place to send me those suggestions if you have them. At What Did I Miss Podcast on Facebook. That's about all I have to say for now. So, thank you for listening. À la prochaine. I miss the way you